All right, Bucks fans, thanks for checking in to the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, your humble host here today, one of the Joes at Joe Bucks Fan, writing on the website. And speaking of the website, it's the summer. We're 5 weeks from training camp, 5.5 weeks, whatever it is. But we don't slow down. We keep on rolling. We have a lot to share. There's a lot going on. And frankly, our passion runs through the summer, runs 24/7. So why would we not share it? Because that's what our website is about. Sharing our passion, sharing our opinions. Thankfully, many of you appreciate them and the knowledge behind them. And of course, letting you know what's going on. So we can be a one-stop shop for you, which, you know, life is good at JoeBucksFan.com, so we appreciate all your support and listening to the podcast, which is available also on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, some other platforms, and actually I just threw it up on Stitcher, so hopefully that will kick in very soon. They have to approve it over there. And so what to talk about? Well, Mike Evans is joining the podcast for an exclusive interview today. That's in the headline. You saw that. Maybe that's why you clicked and you're going to start fast forward and look at it, looking for Mike Evans. But I know most people, at least our numbers show that most people listen all the way through all off the website. So we appreciate that. Now, I want to let you know first, the podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. The website where you can shop immediately is BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. They are pushing 60 years, just about there, 60 years in the Tampa Bay area, right there in Tampa as an institution. And they're friends of ours. And we don't throw that word around lightly. But General Manager Sean Sullivan, this guy, Lee DeCamper, and I know well, and we become good friends. And is there a bigger Bucks fan in the world? I'm not sure. But one of the biggest reasons to be a fan of Bill Curry Ford is that nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. It's a powertrain plus, not just, you know, just your engine kind of thing. There's a lot to it, and it's pretty exciting. I know I got my last used vehicle there, traded in my Ford. Walked away with something else, and the payment wasn't even much different. A lot of value at Bill Curry Ford. A lot of great service. BillCurryFord.com. And a lot of tremendous offers. Just check out their website. That's how most people are shopping now, right? You go hit the website, BillCurryFord.com. You can see the warranty information. You can look at the vast selection. And, of course, whenever you're at JoeBucksFan.com, you'll see their ad, and you can click on through to check it all out. Now, I want to talk first about the kicking situation, because one thing that's going on in the Tampa Bay area, at least in the media scene and in the world of talking about the Bucks, is the Martin Gramatica show, which is on 10:40 a.m. now every day, 9 to 11 a.m. Rock Riley is the co-host, but it's Martin Gramatica's show, and it's not archived anywhere, so you can't go in and look at it, listen to it. It's not on podcast platform. It's just sort of there. It's just old school. It's on the air. If you miss it, you miss it. And I do catch it quite a bit. I do talk to Rock as well. And Gramatica's got a lot of good insight. You know, you tend to forget that he spent 9 years in the league, and you know, he played for Dallas. He was perfect kicking in a playoff game. They lost, I think, by a point in when Parcells was there. And so he kicked for Parcells, he kicked in the playoffs, he kicked for New Orleans, he won a job in Indianapolis, and the guy's been through a lot of battles and competitions and injuries and knows the kicking game and the intricacies of the battles and what goes on behind the scenes as well as anybody. And it's a great listen given the nonsense that we deal with in Tampa because of our kicking situation that can never seem to be rectified. And look, I hope, like every Bucks fan, that either Matt Gay or Cairo Santos can make kicking boring again in Tampa Bay. That's sort of my goal. Make kicking boring again. Let me go to the bathroom when there's an extra point and not have to worry about it. And a 33-yard field goal, 39-yard field goal, let that stuff be automatic. Let our guy kick 85% of his field goals and be a top 10 kicker, top 12 kicker, and we can all sleep at night. But we haven't had that luxury. And so in comes Matt Gay, and Gramatica's talked about how the pressure on these guys, the internal competition, the grind, the mental battle going on can burn a kicker out. Now, it seems kind of weird, right? Because guys win and lose jobs all the time in the NFL, right? You could have two cornerbacks fighting it out for a starting job, even two quarterbacks or two running backs. And we would never think that, that battle all through the spring and the summer and the mental toll and all that can mess up a running back or a cornerback. But Gramatica swears that at kicker, it's just a different animal. And especially since the battle itself is win the job or get cut. There is no in between. And all the guys know it. And, you know, I was a little bit skeptical. But then hearing Gay talk, we had JoeBucksFan.com intern Zach Seifter go out to Mike Evans' charity golf tournament on Friday. And he talked to Matt Gay, and he asked Gay about the competition and whether it's, is there a little animosity brewing? Is it the tension growing? That kind of stuff. And Gay says it's an interesting vibe, right? This is him. I'm quoting him. It's an interesting vibe because, I mean, he's a great guy. Gay said of Santos, you're with him all the time. You're a specialist. You hang out together with the punter and the snapper, all that kind of stuff. And he goes on to say that he wants him to land a job and he's rooting for Santos, but he says, quote, eventually, I mean, it's going to be one of us. You kind of have to have that the back of your mind that you're coming for the job and he's coming for the job. And you both know that. And, you know, Gay went on to say that, look, it's going to really escalate to, me or him. And, you know, hearing him talk, you had a little better understanding of the competition itself. And they're both hitting the ball well, according to Gay. That's also according to what I've heard. And I don't know. I don't know if that makes a difference. I mean, you would think competition makes these guys better. But, you know, when you have a veteran kicker, they don't usually bring in competition. And if you think that would make a guy better to be competing every summer, maybe you would do that. But usually that you don't bring in legitimate competition for a veteran kicker. So there's got to be something to that. On some level, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing going down. And when you hear Gramatica talk about it, when you hear Gay talk about it, when you also hear Gay talking about, as he did on Friday, that, well, he likes to figure things out on his own. And now he has a kicking coach for the very first time. And he's appreciated things he's learned from the kicking coach. But you get a sense that the rookie is trying to filter. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, coach. But I got to do it my own way. I got to win this damn job. I got to, and kickers are kickers. And the whole kicking coach concept, I just think that can go both ways. And it's going to take a lot of maturity on Gay to handle the inevitable ups and downs. I won't say they're inevitable because he could come out and be a 90% kicker and they're not going to bother him or touch him or do anything about that. But he does have a coach. That coach has a job to justify and to do. And the whole kicking thing fascinates me. I'm going to even get off the subject because maybe it doesn't fascinate you, but there's a lot there. And I hope Arians picks the best kicker and that can be a tough choice. Might they actually keep two kickers if they're on the fence and they don't want to let both of them go and they don't like some of their other special teams depth and feel that, hey, maybe that last linebacker is a guy we can throw on the practice squad or that will get to pick off the street because nobody else will want them. I don't know. I don't know how deep the depth goes, but do I think the Bucks could become the first team to keep two kickers on the active roster? It wouldn't shock me. It really would not shock me, especially with all those road games coming up. Because if they just don't know exactly who's best and they know that they've got this giant stretch of road games and how's the rookie going to kick on Thursday Night Football, how's he going to kick in London? How's he going to kick with all these road games? Maybe they let Santos hang around if they're concerned that he might go somewhere else. I don't know. But to me, that's, and this is my personal podcast here, to me, that's something kind of interesting. So fun to watch. And Gramatica really has a lot of fun takes and generally talks about getting into the league and the importance of fear. He actually was talking on his show a couple of weeks ago about how he really thought Warren Sapp was going to eat him, that he was that intimidating, that demanding as a locker room presence. And you know, pleasing Sapp, which meant working hard and performing, was such a big part of that Bucks locker room. And the Bucks don't have a guy like that. And sir, I don't think you want anybody pulling a Mike Tyson and taking a bite out of you, but you get the idea of what Gramatica was trying to say. Now, Jameis Winston, he was a guy trying to say a lot of things up there with Adam Schefter on that ESPN podcast, if you heard it or not. There were a few nuggets there that I thought were interesting. Jameis said he's, quote, still learning not to be a perfectionist on every play. And I get it. I understand that that's one of his faults or one of his negatives that he's trying to improve, and we all have them. But, you know, still learning, I don't know. It feels a little odd as a fifth-year quarterback still trying to learn that when that's what's been drilled into you the day you walked into the NFL. Now, maybe Dirk Cutter did a horrible job with that, but I don't think Todd Monken did, and I really don't think Dirk did either. And Jameis certainly has been up and down in his career, so he knows how to do it. Now, I listened to Dan Orlovsky talking about Jameis. Orlovsky, the former Bucks backup, has transformed into a really excellent, sort of a fresh approach analyst for ESPN. Orlovsky was talking about Jameis versus Mariota last week and was saying that, well, with Jameis, you know he can do it. Right, we've seen it. We've seen it in blocks of and stretches, and with Mariota you haven't, and that sort of lets you know that he does know what to do. It just gets away from him sometimes, and I don't know, the learning part. Is it possible for him to learn that from Arians when he couldn't learn it before? Would there be more intimidation? Would maybe you know, fear of the head coach or respect of the head coach lead Jameis to perform better under pressure when he's trying not to make that perfect play? I don't know. We're all just going to find out. That we're all just sitting here waiting to see what happens. But Jameis saying that he's still learning to do that, he did mention that he gets so much encouragement on each individual play and so much coaching to live another day that on each play as it's happening on the practice field, that makes him feel good. Maybe that's something, because Arians talked about, I think it was with me and Lee and Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Might've been off the air, or I'm not sure. It all runs together sometimes, but Arians did talk about how the Giant coaching staff, I think it was with Ira, the Giant coaching staff, one of the big important pieces of it is the ability to have every play coached on the field, directly on the field, and then reinforced in the meeting room, versus a typical team where, sure, some things are coached on the field as mistakes are made or as good things are done. But with a smaller coaching staff, more times than not, something happens on the field, and then the coaches watch the practice film immediately after practice, and then it's addressed in a meeting. So if I make a mistake, and as a football player, or really a player in any sport, you're trained to go to the next play, right? Your brain, you should be programmed to forget about what happened and put all your energy into the next play. That's what any sport is all about. The most important play is the next play. Well, if you're wired that way, and then you're coached up on a mistake 12 hours later, the impact, it can't be the same. It literally cannot be the same. It's different, and it's great to watch yourself on video, but it just can't be the same. And I'm not calling NFL players dogs, but you know what? If you catch a dog doing something they shouldn't be doing, and you bark at it and let them know right there, the animal, well, the animal's going to learn it in the moment, and that's very effective with anybody, really. And so there's more of that going on. So maybe this coaching staff, with the four guys swarming around Jameis, Clyde Christensen, Leftwich, Arians, and Tom Moore, maybe that instant coaching will make a difference. And I believe I'm an optimistic person, even though a lot of people think we're negative at JoeBucksFan.com, I have to think that that's a better thing. And that's going to be a positive for Jameis, who actually talked about the, quote, parallel energy of all those quarterback coaches he has on the field. And that's really, we've said it before, on Ira Kaufman's podcast, that is arguably one of the biggest challenges for Arians, is to somehow keep the voices all in sync, all the guys in Jameis's ear on the same page. And that's not easy. I don't care if they all know the offense and they all know the same thing. They're all different people with different interpretations, and you want a singular message. So Jameis gravitates toward the singular message, not the piece of the message somebody's expressing that he likes the most, so he'll go with that. And that's not a knock on Jameis. That's anybody who might have four bosses in his ear. There's the, you know, the GM, and then there's the regional manager works with you closely, and then there's your supervisor, and then there's a consultant that they brought in to work with you specifically in your department, and you got four people in your ear. It's a challenge, and I believe Arians knows what he's doing, and I'm confident that he'll manage any issues there, but the likelihood of them being more issues is higher. So when do you spot him? When do you figure him out? Jameis has to have clear, open communication on what he's hearing and what he's doing and why and who's telling him what. So it'll be fun to watch. I mean, it's, look, if Arians is successful, you'll see teams copying his giant coaching staff, because he'll continue to be asked about it. He'll continue to explain it. And then teams will continue to go that direction. And you might add 50 coaching jobs around the league. So it just on a bigger picture, it has its level of interest. Jameis admitted, which I thought was interesting, and it was honest, but you don't hear it very often, so it's always kind of an ear opener. He admitted to Schefter that he has that extra drive and sense of urgency to be your best in a contract year. That's what Jameis said, that extra drive and sense of energy or urgency to be your best. This came after he said he tries to, treats every game like it's his last, which he does play that way. And that's very admirable. But it was interesting to hear him address the money on it. And I think that's important, because I think fans, when they think about the big picture of this season, how it's going to go, how it's going to play out, will Jameis get a new contract? All that stuff. Some people think about that. Some people just want to watch the games. But if you really start thinking about the season and the plan and how it'll shake out, what the Bucks need to do and the mindset of the team, and Arians himself always talks about flipping the culture and guys buying in and all that stuff. If you really think about it, Jameis is so desperate for a fast start, so much pressure on him, because if you put yourself into October, and the Bucks are not winning, all the talk everywhere is going to be about Jameis and that contract, and is he going to get a new one? And will the Bucks have to start looking into the draft? And I met with a Bucks fan last week, hardcore Bucks fan, and I didn't even bring it up. He's like, blah blah blah, and I really hope we're not talking draft again in October, and that's just the way it is around here. And there's a lot of defeatism among Bucks fans who will go into every season optimistic. But the reality is the effect of that on Jameis, what that would be if he doesn't get off to a fast start, and the whole chit chat around him from fans and inevitably from media and certainly national media is that new contract that's got a weigh on you. I don't think any Jameis has proven to be mentally tough enough to block out all these things going on a consistent basis. Now, he's done blocked out off the field stuff for himself many times positively, but it hasn't been consistent. I mean, look at what happened last year. He felt too much pressure to try to be like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he admitted that. Well, if you felt pressure and it affected you because you were pushing yourself to try too much to be like Fitzpatrick, well, what happens when you've got a $30 million a year contract potentially on the line, and you're at the end of the line with a new coach and a new offense and the weight of your team that is probably going to need you to score 24, 26, 25 points a game to be a winning team. The defense should be better, but not incredibly better. Yeah, I'm concerned that are hopeful / concerned that it's managed properly by Jameis. He has to. He's at the end of the line. He's got to manage this where he just plays a professional, consistent game and takes a step forward so the franchise can take a step forward and he can be cemented as the long-term quarterback. If he doesn't do that, then the ups and downs stuff, I don't think the Bucs will invest in him. I really don't. He's got to find a way to become a consistent quarterback. Forget about the team's actual record. He's got to be a consistent quarterback, and hopefully that'll be Arians' number one priority and the number one accomplishment is making Jameis a consistent quarterback, because that's the best way to build, period. No matter what anybody else says, that's your number one. If you have consistency and talent at that quarterback position, forget it. All right. Now, Mike Evans is another big key to the season, and he had some cool stuff to say. Kudos to Zach Seifter, intern, for sitting down with Mike and hitting him with some questions. Evans did a really cool thing that I can't really explain here on the podcast. Really cool with our intern, Zach. And here's the interview.